98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The Patriots won the AFC Championship game 2 days ago. And the Eagles won the NFC Championship game in even more convincing fashion. Foles with the best game of his career.
He was amazing. Yes. I watched a little more of that game yesterday, and I mean, he couldn't miss. And it reminded me of when he first started a few years ago. And remember, everyone was had Foles fever, but then like, we'll figure him out. And then he went back to being Nick Foles. I mean, he was excellent. Now, you're not going to get that again, I don't believe. I mean, that was statistically about as good as you could play. But there is something weird about seeing all of these clips that are coming out of Philadelphia and what's going on here in Boston. And I was thinking about it. So in the streets in Philadelphia, people were going crazy. I mean, just the entire streets were packed. They had to grease down the poles. It was an all-night party.
Running into poles.
Running into poles. Which, by the way,
falling into the train.
Still the best video
yet. I like how the guys come out and said that he's okay.
Yeah, he did.
Instead of hiding under his bed for the next week. He's come out and announced he was okay, as if everyone was really concerned about the dumbass that ran into the pole. I can't sleep. What's his condition?
Here's his quote. Yeah, I hit the pole, but the passion is there. It reflected the passion of the entire city.
It does?
Yeah. He was a spokesman for the city.
Everyone's running into polls these days.
Well, sure, no, John, not everyone was, just him. Okay. And he expressed the passion of the city. If everyone ran, he's so lucky he didn't get his head chopped off by that drain.
I know.
Because he hits the pole.
That view is a great view.
And I like how everyone came rushing to his aid, but he hits a pole, and not even that hard, but what happens is that he goes and falls into the train.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
bounces
off the train.
Dude, that was like, he's out like Gronk.
That's true. And everyone's kind of walking over, hey, dude, you all right? Not like running over to see if of his limbs are
And there's 7,000 angles of it, because that's all we do as human beings now is tape the idiot.
And don't help. We tape and don't help.
No, we tape the idiot. That's like when I was in Milwaukee, and my friend and I were going to a bar at like 9 in the morning, and there was this guy splayed out in the street, just in the middle of the street, downtown Milwaukee or whatever. It's in the city of Milwaukee. And I went to take a picture of him, and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, I got it. And so I had my friend pick him up because I wouldn't touch him. But nonetheless.
But I can't blame New England fans for not doing what they did, like not partying all night because you're going to the Super Bowl. But you know what? I miss that there used to be an excitement about not actually winning the entire championship, but just getting there. Okay, John, in your recollection,
yes,
what was the biggest celebration that you were either a part of or that you witnessed of a team that didn't actually win the championship? And for me, I specifically remember how much fun it was being on Causeway after Game 7 of the Boston Bruins in 2011 when they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, Causeway was crazy
right
after that.
That was
everyone
nuts.
Was at the bars. Everyone was going crazy. They were drinking. Hell, Nick got so drunk that he woke up in a hospital. I don't even know what happened to him. Apparently, he thinks that I put something in his drink, which, you know.
But, really?
Wait, Nick.
Oh, my Lord.
He never found out what happened
that night. Nick, I don't recall this story, nor do I think many people do. All right, so it's 2011.
Yep.
Yeah, it's 2011. It's right after the Bruins won Game 7 against the Lightning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rich and I went to the Harp, and we were just at the bar having a few drinks, and all of a sudden, that's the last thing I remember, was being at the bar.
Nick called me the next morning and said, I'm in the hospital, and I don't know how I got here.
Yep.
Now, how did you separate with him that night?
I just said, hey, I'll see you later, and I left him at the bar.
Yep.
I went home.
Allegedly.
I guess so.
So you, but is so, there a part of you that truly believes that Rich did something to you?
I don't know.
Is there a part of you in all seriousness?
I don't know. But what happened after was, you know, the last thing I remember, I was at the on the bar stool. It felt like 15 minutes went by. It was really 6 hours of just blackout. And I woke up in a bed at Mass General Hospital.
Now, what was wrong with you?
I don't know.
No. What? No. What was? Why were you in the hospital?
They thought I was just some drunk, and I
did
apparently.
Did you fall? Did you get hit by a car? Did you?
They
get
said
in a fight?
They found me outside of the bar, passed out.
Oh, and they didn't arrest you?
No.
Oh, okay. So like somebody picked you up, like an ambulance came by and picked you up, and you were outside of the Harp?
I was at the Harp, outside of the Harp.
Because I know that when we were there, we were just drinking beer.
Yeah.
So you were outside of the Harp, and
I was outside of the Harp, on the ground.
So what was the feeling like when you woke up?
I was horrified.
So you woke up in a
hospital. How long did it take to get over it?
It took easily a month.
Yeah, like, because when you've been blacked out for that long, which has never happened to me, knock on wood, the machinations that must go through your mind of what could have happened have got to be crazy.
Do you know how out you are to have somebody pick you up and put you in the back of an ambulance and you not know what's happening?
There was no idea. I was sick for the next few days after that.
Because that's not alcohol.
No. No.
I don't know what the hell happened there.
I was freaked out. It freaked me out.
Yeah, that was... were you hurt? Were you injured?
No.
There was no funny business going on anywhere?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure if it was the Harp, you were fine.
The Harp.
Of course. Everyone loves the Harp.
But just think about that. I mean, that night was insane. Like, I mean, people were going crazy.
Yeah, they were going nuts.
And I remember there's been times where the Red Sox were going to go to the World Series. They won the ALCS. And, you know, just from my apartment on Boylston Street, outside, Whiskey's and everyone, the place is going crazy. There's nothing. Nothing this year.
Nothing.
When the Patriots ended up winning against the Jaguars.
I saw a t-shirt on Facebook that said Dilly Dilly.
Yeah, it says Billy Billy, and it's got Bill Belichick.
Oh, that's even funnier.
It says Billy Billy.
Yeah.
But nothing.
So they took the Bud Light commercial and they made it put a B in front of it.
Yes, they did. Yes.
That's awesome. If you wear that, you might as well just,
throw stuff at me.
You know, and just give up your driver's license. Because you're.
See, I want one with Bill Belichick on it. Just says, "What's up?"
Yeah, right.
On that. So, but this is. But I missed that. I kind of missed that.
No, there aren't many celebrations for that.
And it does suck that we're at the point now where would you just expect your team to go to the championship?
Championship or bust around here. It has been for a while.
And you know what? I'm kind of jealous of people getting to see people smack into polls and stuff like that. But it's not just the fans who are over all of this. I want you to listen to this. This is the locker room. TMZ yesterday posted a bunch of audio and videos of the locker room of the Philadelphia Eagles after they blew out the Vikings. So this is a little sample of what was going on inside the Eagles locker room after the win this weekend. This is not the street. This is the locker room. This is a locker room. I mean, this sounds like House Party 4. Listen to this.
When Slater, I bet you, does it, it's just the sound of dice rolling.
Yes.
He's rolling the bones.
Yes. You've reached a gelatinous cube.
You're too excited.
Right.
You got to been there, done that.
Well, let's now go to the locker room audio from the New England Patriots. After they beat the Jaguars, let's take a listen to the excitement in that locker room.
Oh, nice job. Thanks. Nice job.
You too, man.
Great game,
man. Yeah, I got you.
There you go.
You could hear James Harrison fart. At any given point.
No, that's because the job's not done. One more.
Yeah.
Job's
understood.
Not done.
I like that.
Job's not done.
I like that. The fan part.
The job's not done. Does Slater talk in this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
You don't think Slater's going to talk in the AFC Championship?
I need to hear Slater talk.
Well, of course he's going to talk.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Good job, coach.
Great job,
great
you
job.
Guys play good.
Thank you. Nice job, boy.
Good.
Nice job. Nice way to bounce back, though.
Thank you again for the opportunity.
So you made a good trade.
Okay, man, congratulations. And so now that gives us a chance to play another one. So congratulations, we've earned it. All right, give Jacksonville credit. I mean, they're a good football team. Let's enjoy this one. We'll see you in the morning. Slate.
One more game. Yeah.
How do we feel? I'm not going to Minnesota.
Not people screaming, yelling over rap music, none of that. It's just, hey, good job, hey, thanks for the trade.
Philly's second Super Bowl in what, 37 years?
You know,
in the last 37 years?
Says meet me at games and stuff.
Yeah.
We'll go over there and we'll roll the bones.
Extra hit points for everybody.
Exactly. We have to break.
Okay, here. Somebody's calling in saying the exact same thing happened to him that happened to Nick.
All right, well, let's not name places anymore if we could do that. If you could please request that we do not name the place where this happened. Nick, very up to date on how to do radio. All right, what is the sponsor? No one's giving me sponsors anymore. What is the sponsor of this?
Sponsor is Plymouth Rock Assurance.
There you go. Here's Boomer.
It's TNR. TNR. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter. Twitter. At Dutcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Nick, intern Nick, was out at... And back in 2011, the Bruins-Tampa Bay Game 7, there was a celebration in the streets, and Nick says that he was sitting at a bar, and the next thing you know, he's waking up the next day at a hospital. The only person he was with that he knows is Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps Rich with some funny business, but who knows? We'll never know. Mark, go ahead.
Morning, boys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
So I was, I won't say where I was, I'll just say I was in Rhode Island at a show, and I was with four of my friends, and I woke up the next day in a hospital. Now, I'm from Quincy, so I thought I was in Quincy Hospital, and I took the needle out of my arm and started ripping all the things off my chest, and the nurse comes in and says, what are you doing? I said, I'm going home. And she said, do you have any idea where you are? I said, Quincy Hospital. She said, no, honey, you're still in Providence. We need to talk about what happened last night. I said, what happened? She said, someone found you curled up in the fetal position, like a block away from where the show was, and they stood with you and called an ambulance, and the ambulance came, picked you up, and took you to the hospital, and you've been here ever since. So we tested your blood. There was alcohol and Rufinol in your system.
Oh, jeez.
Poured Rufinol in my beer.
So you got roofied, and how long did it... Did you just, like, wake up the next morning?
I woke up the next morning in the hospital, you know, very confused. I have literally no idea what happened to me at all. None. I mean, it was, like, total blackout.
That's crazy.
Jeez, I know, that's nightmare stuff.
Yeah. That's no good.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to think that if you... just lose time like that. Like, if there's just hours missing from your life, then it's got to be something like Rufinol. It's got to be some sort of pill form that happened to Nick. But that is strange. When he texted me the next morning, he's like, what happened to me? I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, I'm in the hospital right now. Like, okay. When I left him, he was just, he said, I'm going to stay here and drink. I'm going to take off. Well, that was pretty much it.
We've had members of the show fall down escalators. We've had the whole nine.
See, but that we know what the cause was.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That was irresponsibility plus bad decision making.
Yeah, the only time that I ended up in the hospital is I got hit in the head with a gun. I got hit in the head with a bottle, and I just got the crap kicked out of me. Even though I don't run it, it's still that picture is still up at Toucher and Rich on Twitter.
Were you hit in the head?
Oh, no. When I got stomped. That picture, oh yeah, there's a lot more going on than getting hit in the head.
You see, it's weird too, man, because, you know, obviously we know that there's been people who have just kind of wandered off near the garden and whatever. Did I ever tell you about the time that I've been drinking so much when I was down there, sick in the early days of the show, that I just wanted to get a cab home, and I walked over to what I thought was the cab line over near Faneuil Hall, and this car pulls up and goes, hey, man, you need a ride? And I'm like, are you a cab? And he goes, no, but I'm giving people rides tonight. And I went, yeah, okay. And I got in the back, just thinking, at the time it seemed perfectly reasonable, and it was one of those things where once I got inside the car, I don't know what happened, but I sobered up, at least in my mind, I was able to think clearly pretty quickly, and I started thinking, this probably was the worst idea ever. I don't know who this guy is and why he's picking up people and what he's expecting out of me, so I had him drop me off, like... maybe five blocks away from where I was at the time. I didn't want to know where I lived, and I had my hand on the door handle the entire time, because it's dumb people like that making dumb decisions that probably get them in stupid situations.
Well, having your door, were you in the back seat?
Yes.
Having your hand on the door handle would really done a lot, considering you can lock people in your car.
Well, you can, but what am I going to do at that point?
Well, I mean...
Well, then I could, you know, knock them in the back of the head.
There you go.
There you have
crash it. Into
you
something.
Got, what was that movie? Collateral?
Because if he was kidnapping...
just like buckle in and...
Yeah, if he was kidnapping people, I'm sure that one blow to his head would have... I think then he would have just picked up the gun and said, here we go. Why did you not want him to know where you lived?
Because I don't want this guy to know where I live. He's a creepy guy.
But what, like, you think he fell in love with you?
I don't know. All I know is that it just seemed nefarious. After I got in, and I was like, "All right, this isn't on the level."
Like, he's going to be like,
"I'm not going to give the guy my address."
So he came, but the idea is that he came and picked you up.
Yes,
and he would take you to your home and drop you off, and then with the knowledge of where you lived.
Why would you want him to know where you live anyway?
Because I would figure, what's the difference at this point? Drop me off at home.
Well, because I could walk 2 blocks. It was more like 4 blocks I had to walk.
I'm trying to understand the machinations of, like, okay, so you're in his car. He could do whatever he wants to in the car. He could take you to wherever he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
But he takes you to your building, and this is a building. This isn't just one house. But even if it was just a house,
mm-hmm.
What about him having you in the car and taking you to your destination would make it dangerous that he knows where you live?
I don't know. I just didn't want him to know where I lived. That was it. I mean, I've done that before.
I'd figure that. You've done that before?
Yeah. I've done that before with weird cab drivers.
So what was the cab driver going to do?
I don't know. I just like, all right, drop me off 2 blocks away and I'll walk.
What was the cab driver doing to weird you out?
Well, how about he did not have any kind of light?
You've done it before with cab drivers that were weird.
Yeah, I have.
All right, what was the cab driver that was weird doing?
He knew who I was.
Okay.
I don't like that.
So everyone who listens to the show that says hello to you can't take you to your house?
I don't like them to know at the time where I lived.
What are they going to do?
I don't know. I've had weird listeners outside my house.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't like that.
They've been waiting for you?
One time there was a listener waiting outside of my house, and when my wife came out with our kids in a stroller, asked if I was home, and she said, excuse me, because I wanted to give this gift card to him.
Yeah,
and he gave my wife a gift card.
Okay, that's weird.
That's why I don't tell people.
Well, I mean, I know the UPS guys.
That's different. Of course you know those guys. It's not like I don't want to, you know, these are people I deal with every day. But weirdo listeners, that's different.
Yeah, well, the guy handing Mary the gift card is weird.
Well, everything changed after that. Like, that was the thing. I didn't care up to that point.
I mean, I've had a million cab drivers that knew who I was. I've had Uber drivers who know who I was. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they don't come to my house looking for a gift card.
Listen, it's okay to say that I freaked out a little bit after that. It stuck with me for a while. When you go to my wife and you have them give me a note,
What was on the note?
I didn't open it. He said it was a gift card. It had my name on it.
It could have been a nice Starbucks gift card.
If I could have got a nice Frappuccino for free.
Yeah, now you're missing out.
That's right.
You weren't even curious what was in the gift card?
Nope. Right in the trash.
What'd the guy look like?
Mary described him as being heavy set with glasses.
Sounds like a listener.
So
I've let listeners drive me home.
Oh, back in the day, friend.
No,
both did.
Not so long ago. I've let within the last year. I've let
if it's
listener
somebody
drive
that
me home.
Like I knew or
no,
I
no,
talked
I,
with.
I,
that's
I
mean, different.
I didn't know him. They said you need a ride. I said sure. I'm not far. Not far. Not like from downtown home.
Yeah.
But from like a local bar. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy changed everything for me.
Yeah. You know what? I'm a man of the people.
Some guy shows up at your house and gives your wife a gift card, says it's for me.
I know.
Doesn't change your opinion of a few things.
I would figure that's an outlier, but but I would not. I mean, what's a cab driver going to do?
I don't know. But it was just one of those things where I was like, yeah, all right. It changes everything. And maybe I freaked out, sure, but.
So a cab driver by saying, hey, you're rich. I'm a fan of the show. You don't. That immediately made you think I don't want him to know where
I've just
live.
Done that a few times. There's been guys who knew where I was and I let them drop me off. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time. But there's been times where I've been like, you can see something's off.
You know, you can find out where someone lives just by Googling it.
Sure. I know.
I mean, it has. And then it shows you like a picture of where they live.
Sure. Yeah. I know that.
So if they were inspired enough to do you harm based on where you lived.
Fred, it doesn't mean I'm completely rational. All I know is that incident freaked me out enough to where I was just very cautious.
All right. Poor cab drivers just trying to make conversation.
He got his money. Good tip.
Not as much money as he would have taken you home.
Oh, I made up for it. Two blocks short.
And then somehow he's going to, the quagmire of where he lives.
As I said, I might have freaked out, but I don't care. That's just the way my brain thought after that incident.
All right. Well, there you go. There is mystery abounds in the city of Boston.
All right. We will be back.
There's people trying to guess who the person who was heavy set with glasses was that gave me the gift card. Some people who used to work at the station.
Was it a guy that worked at the station that would go to all the screenings and eat the trash?
Oh, no, no, no. Trash guy. No, that guy was weird. That guy was like yell at me.
There was a guy who hung around the station and went to all the movie premieres, but it turned out he like wasn't an intern or anything.
So we got a new program director here right around the time that Fred and I arrived. And there was an employee who used to answer phones. And when the program director showed up, he met him and he's like, hey, you're not on the payroll. Who are you? And he goes, oh, I just show up and answer phones. He's like, yeah, insurance reasons, you can't be here. And I guess the guy got really, really angry. And everyone around here was like, yeah, I don't know who hired him either. I don't even know how he got in here. All I know is he used to eat the trash.
No, no, no. He used to go to the screenings.
Oh, no, at the screenings, yeah. I would see, like, this was like a weird thing of his. It wasn't that he was, like, homeless or anything. He just had a thing for eating trash. So after the movie was over, he used to go to a ton of screenings, and he would go pick up half-eating. Nick knows what I'm talking about. He's been to these screenings. He goes and would pick up people's half-eaten nachos and eat them off out of the little cups. And he would get, like, half-eaten popcorn and eat it right in front
of
us.
Not a homeless guy.
No, he's not a homeless guy.
No,
no.
People around here
knew that he, like, you know, has a home.
He was an intern for, like, a while.
He just has this thing about eating trash.
No, and he was an intern, but then he just stayed and stayed and stayed and until he became a part of the background. I don't even know what this guy's talking about. Jamie, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, you're talking to the guy who bought Fast and Furious tickets 3 months ahead at three different theaters and had to leave immediately upon seeing a guy with leather gloves next to him.
That freaked me out.
I don't know how this surprises him.
I don't remember that story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was not too long after there was an incident in a movie theater. And
my wife
and I went to the movies, and she started feeling uncomfortable, and I started feeling uncomfortable, and we left. It was a dude who showed up, and he was by himself, and he had, like, it seemed out of place. He had leather gloves and, like, I don't even remember what the whole thing was and why we were skeeved out, but we were, and we left.
No, I remember this story when it happened, and yeah. I remember you telling the story, and I remember thinking, yeah, I get it.
Because I was like, I'm going to sit here the whole movie and just think about this guy. Yeah, why not just leave? Like, I know.
You didn't feel the responsibility to tell anyone? Hey,
no,
there's
because
a suspicious
there's,
character?
Because there's no reason for him to be suspicious other than I don't want to be here.
Saving himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to yell fire.
If you thought he was
a
big enough threat to...
Because he wore leather gloves? Listen, I knew it was being completely irrational, but I knew it was going to completely ruin my night if I stuck around. So I'm like, I'm just going to go.
What were the leather gloves going to do?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Like, all of a sudden,
I remove myself from situations where I don't feel I would enjoy myself.
So, like, no one would have known
it cost
that
me
it was him?
$40.
Listen, it's not the financial thing, but the idea is, I've been to enough therapists. So the idea is, if you thought about it rationally, that he could, like, just pull out guns and start shooting like crazy, then skedaddle without anyone knowing him because he had leather gloves on.
Dude, it was a weird time. It was a weird time. It's one of those horrible incidents that just happened. And I felt uncomfortable. My wife felt uncomfortable. So we left.
All right.
Someone said half-eaten movie nachos. That's the Eddie Money special.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Oh, fancy pants.
We have our own Eddie Money. The guy still goes to all the screenings.
Does he really?
He's on, like, the list. He gets all the passes. And if you stick around after the movie, he just goes around and eats everyone's garbage.
Just lick the floor.
Oh, did you work here when the garbage eater was here, Dan? You had you had, like, just shown up.
I think Dan was here.
But everyone who was here before knew that there was this guy who just, if you happen to go into the break room at any given time, he's snacking on your trash.
Wait, here at the station, too?
Yeah, he was the phone screener. Yes, he would eat. That's how we found out about him, because I told the story in the air, like, oh, that's the guy.
But he wasn't a phone screener when we were here.
No, no, but people who worked here beforehand knew about him.
All right, well, there you have it. Eating the trash off the floor, seeing guys with leather gloves, cab drivers driving around, knowing who people are. All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Bones are just for you. She said, "Worth the keeper."
Thank you so much for letting me destruct everything.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Why does he keep saying that's Zolak after the game on Sunday? Why does he keep saying that's what she said?
I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is he said it's feeling for Lars Aldridge.
You
know?
He's feeling it. Drum solo. Just feeling it.
But I don't understand. What that's what she said. Would you would say something like, you know, this problem's real hard or something.
Yeah, that's what she said.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I have no idea why he said that. All I know is that is the sound of pure joy. A man who is excited.
Guy who experiences pure joy a lot.
He's the one guy who I've seen a video of in this town actually excited about the Patriots winning. Like, I mean, there's not one video of even anyone outside of, like, Gillette Stadium going crazy. I mean, like, I do miss that. Like, but, I do miss what the Eagles are going through right now. That time of, like, excitement when you haven't even won the whole thing yet, but you know that the big game's coming. There's none of that here anymore, and I do miss that part of it. And I don't blame people in New England for being over it. You've done it for so many years. Yeah. It's not really a new thing, so I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but that does suck that it's gone.
Part of the problem is that, it's not a problem, but this franchise has been so good. They're there year after year after year, just winning an AFC championship.
Well, no kidding, John.
But I mean, they were. It was like that in the mid-90s when Bledsoe took them there and they lost to Favre in the Super Bowl.
No, I understand. It's like you in Atlanta kind of when they were making the playoffs all the time. But the thing is that Zolak the other day FaceTimed me from his treadmill, and the idea is that he is using this week, the next week he thinks is a big week to promote himself, so he's looking to lose 10 pounds in the interim.
Do you remember, I think it might have been Jim Louth last year, had like a notebook of all of Zolak's appearances and places that he had to be as far as the NFL Network, different radio stations. And you have to understand, after they get off the air, you know how they bring different people around to each table? Zolak was Mr. Handshake and Money-Making guy.
Why was Louth in charge of this?
Because Louth is essentially his personal assistant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And also, Louth is probably the most organized human being you'll ever meet in your entire
life.
That's
also very true.
So if I was Zolak, I would hopefully toss a little couple extra bucks his way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would do the same thing if I was Jim Louth. Hell yeah.
But I wonder what the end game is. Because is the end game to go national?
He needs to get a sponsor. It's like when, you know, Mike Dick is brought around to every table, and at the end of it, he has to awkwardly throw in some sort of plug for Charmin toilet paper.
But would Scott leave the market? If he was given a national gig or a gig in a bigger market, if he was asked to become the voice of another team or was asked to, you know, join the NFL Network or something.
For another team, no. For a national gig, yes.
Well, he wouldn't do another team because he wouldn't get offered the job because he has no history with the team. But you think that his loyalties to the Patriots would preclude him taking more money to do another team?
Yes.
Oh,
absolutely.
That is entirely
if
naive.
If he got paid twice the amount of money for a national gig, he'd take it.
A national gig,
twice
that's
twice the
thing.
Amount of money?
Sure.
If you're to take a national gig, he would do it for way less than twice the amount of money.
Yeah, you and I agree.
No, but way less than twice, double the money.
Then let's say that it was a 30% raise.
Yes.
I think he would do it too.
25%, 20. Mm-hmm. You got to take that gig.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But what if he was offered 20% more to do another team's local broadcast?
I don't know, but I also think, Fred, he likes to be loved.
He loves to be loved.
And listen, who doesn't?
But the color, being a color commentator for a football team is automatically you're loved. There's because you're rooting actively for a team that everyone else that's listening is rooting for.
Yeah.
So because Scott says he wants to, you know, go around and shake hands and kiss babies, but I'm wondering what the end game is. Because one thing just to go around to different radio stations and, you know, talk on the air. I mean, hell, I do that.
You know what the worst thing about us being at Radio Row is going to be? Is that we're not going to be able to be home and turn on Felger and Mass from 2 to 6 and see James Stewart. They call me the wanderer. Slowly wandering behind the set.
I don't know if Jimmy's not going.
Lurking around. Yeah.
Jimmy's not going?
Jimmy's not going?
I thought I heard Jimmy say he wasn't going this time. I seem to remember that conversation.
Who's going to wander? Who's going to wander aimlessly and make creepy faces to the camera?
He's wandering.
Josh is the best because he has a... He has an entire montage put together of Jay Stu just creepily lurking in the background.
He's not lurking, he's wandering.
Although that was you wallicking in the background a second ago.
No, but I wonder what... Because if you go around...
That's right.
If you go around...
Here we are.
if you're around talking to people, I want, and you know, it's a promotion. I wonder what the end game is, you know? Because if you just go around and talk to people and they're not paying you, then what's the point?
I mean, I guess anytime you get your profile up, it's a good thing.
Yeah, because that would be to move on, though. I mean, there's no point. I mean, it doesn't help you locally.
Well, it could. I mean, you could be on the NFL Network and someone could be watching and go, oh, yeah, that's Zolak. I love Zolak. I'm going to listen to him on 98.5 Sports Hub. Mm. I mean, I could see that working.
It's, I don't know. If you're going around to Houston and Cleveland and you're doing these things.
Get a sponsor. Maybe we should, maybe I should pay him to just, like, throw in a plug.
For us?
Yeah, for us.
That would be, that'd be great, great success.
I'll do that. I should say, listen to Touch and Rich on the 98.5 of Sports Hub app.
Every time I'm on in Chicago, our ratings triple.
Then why do you do it?
Because I'm asked by management to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't do it. If they just text me to do it, I don't do it. If management asks me to do it, I do it.
Sure.
Which is more often than you think. But probably not now.
I was just going to say, with the new ownership change.
Yeah, but when we were CBS, I was doing, and something big was happening, I was doing like five a week.
New ownership owns an all sports radio station in Philly, so this is the week.
Oh, maybe we can make a cool bet.
There you go.
Maybe we could make a bet that, like, you actually, if Boston wins, you have to kill a bird on the air.
Right. If the Patriots win,
you have to sacrifice.
If the Eagles win, we'll sell you. We'll give you some baked beans.
Yeah. Right.
If the Patriots win, you have to murder someone.
No, you have to kill a bird because you're the Eagles.
It has to be an eagle.
Yeah. Like, it's illegal to kill, but you have to bring like a dove in the studio and chop its head off.
Yeah. Or bite it off, Aussie style. That's right. Eagles win, we'll send you baked beans. Patriots win, murder.
Yeah. Awesome. You got to kill something living. Doesn't even have to be a bird if you can't get one. You have to kill something living. All right. Well, it's going to be an interesting scene out there in Minneapolis.
Zolak needs a sponsor. Come on,
Zolak can handle his own sponsorships. All right. We will be back in just a moment.
Never get old. Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice? You like it, right? Hot dog. Do you ever not like it? Having a grilled hot dog slice? Hot dog.
Sweetheart, call me RK Kid.
You like it, right? Hot dog.
I always buy them lemonade.
Cheers. Hot dog, hot dog. No problem solved.
So I call him Mr. Lemonade.
Hot dog, hot dog.
That's cool with me.
Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice. You like it, right?
Aw, thanks for stopping by.
Pasta.
What the hell was Kraft talking about? He's drinking water, though. He's up in that thing drinking water.
I think his point was that, do you ever get sick of hot dogs?
No. But it wasn't like, do you ever get sick of a hot dog sliced down the middle?
A grilled slice? You do, don't you? You like the hot dogs. I don't know. I don't understand.
I guess he was trying to appeal to the common man. You know, he didn't want to say.
What do common men eat? What do these peasants eat? Hot dogs.
That was like,
sliced. Means only half a hot dog.
A slice down the middle for about a gorilla.
Or he's looking at a fat guy. You just said, you ever get sick of hot dogs? No, you don't, obviously. Judging by your physique.
I don't know, but he's up there drinking water.
Yeah?
That's every time he's on the thing, he's drinking water. Doesn't sound like it after the game, but he's drinking water.
Yeah, he is the best.
He's rehydrating. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
I spoke to you last year about fighting at the AFC Championship game in 2004. But I wanted to call you today because I was there this weekend. I got severely wall-dicked by Dan Roach at CBS scene before the game. Like a super wall-dick right in my face.
What did he do?
What did Dan Roach do?
So we went into CBS scene around 11 o'clock to eat and slam a couple margaritas, and he was with, that black guy from the news, and they were on the corner, and they were getting ready because Bertrand was going to go on at 12, And I just ended up going to the bathroom at the same time when he was coming out. And it was like a little kind of 10-foot hallway at CBS scene. And I saw him and I'm like, hey, Dan. I'm like, what's up, man? I'm a huge fan. And I went to see something else. He just ducked his head and walked right by me. And I kind of was stuck there like, did I really just get wall-dicked by Dan Roach?
You know why? Because you weren't an 80-year-old woman, so he was very confused were a fan.
You're not his demographic.
No, but that seems very odd for him. That seems like a bit, but I don't know. I've actually never been with Dan Roach when he's been recognized. We were pretty under the radar when we went to the Red Sox game.
Yeah, the one time, and this is how we figured out about his demographic, we did a live remote, was it Foxwoods?
Yes, right?
And then, all the old ladies with the oxygen tanks rolled up. This is not, such a nice boy.
This is not an exaggeration. We were at Foxwoods, and first of all, like, we're on the air at 6 in the morning, so it's like 7 in the morning, and there's, like, the ladies who come out to play, like, the bus dropped them off at 6.
Yeah, that's right.
And, like, every, like, woman in A Little Rascal, like, came by and was like, Dan Roach!
It was really weird.
And, like, calling him good-looking and stuff.
Oh, that's Broadcaster of the Year, Dan Roach, to you. He just got that award.
Yeah, okay.
And Hunk of the Month amongst the geriatrics.
They said best 90-second segment in all of TV. Troy, go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
So, here goes my theory on the Kraft hot dog situation. You ever see one of those really, really good beef franks, okay? Those things are huge. They're like 12 inches, okay? So, one person can't eat one of those in a sitting. So, you got to slice that bad boy down the middle. You got to, okay, to enjoy it. It's going to be heaving down a foot long? No. You're going to slice it down the middle, and then you're going to enjoy it. Half now, half later.
All right, so that's not what he was talking about.
It's just like you're dealing, what, half of...
No, you cut, you slice a hot dog in half and you put it on the grill, and the idea is grill's faster. You know?
What does that have to do with the Patriots winning?
Nothing, and it's a terrible analogy.
Get Stacey James on the phone.
Yeah. No, please don't.
Can we have
please
him?
Don't get Stacey James
just
on the
hot
phone.
Hot dog analysis.
The last thing I need is Stacey James on the phone.
I need to find out what he meant by the hot dog comment.
Well, because he was
a lot of people are talking about the whole put our egos aside comment from Robert Guy. I want to know the truth behind the hot dogs.
All right. So one last time, if you're wondering, if you're just joining us, before we go to the headlines, there'll be no commercials. Here's what Robert Kraft said and what he's saying after it.
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice? You like it, right? Hot dog. Do you ever not like it? Having a grilled hot dog slice? Hot dog.
Sweetheart, call me RKK.
You like it, right? Hot dog. Hot dog.
I always buy them lemonade.
Cheers, hot dog, hot dog. No problem solved.
So I call him Mr. Lemonade.
Hot dog, hot dog.
That's cool with me.
Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice. You like it, right?
Aw, thanks for stopping by.